the message to preach today, I hope will be a help. We're not going to go very deep in anything, but I think it's important. I think it's very important. Take your Bible, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 23. 2 Chronicles chapter 23. We've been looking through here at these kings in regards also to the temple of the Lord. And we looking at Athaliah the last couple weeks and how she had killed all the king that had just previously lived, Ahaziah, her son. She took out all of his sons and thinking that she could gain the kingdom by killing all the royal seed. And she did a pretty good job at it, except she missed one. And the one she missed, his name was Joash. And he was hid away in the house of God by, the Bible says here, by Jehoiada the priest. In chapter 23, verse number 1, it says, in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds. And he hid away Joash with his wife. But we find as he hides him away, it takes about 7 years before they're able to bring forth the king and anoint him and set the crown upon his head for him to rule and reign in this kingdom. And in the meantime, while the king is there in the chambers of the Lord's house, we have a woman named Athaliah, who was the daughter of Omri, who also had a brother named Ahab there in Israel, not a good person. And Athaliah takes control of the kingdom. And she leads the kingdom in a bad way, towards witchcraft, towards idolatry, towards the high places, towards the things completely against the word of God. And she rules and reigns for 7 years. And the Bible says here in the seventh year that Jehoiada strengthened himself. We looked at that last week. And he sets people up because he's getting ready to take her out and set up Joash as king. But as he's getting ready to take her out, he realizes this is going to be quite the task because she's got her claws pretty good in on the kingdom. She's already shown that she has no problem killing somebody to keep the kingdom. So no doubt there is a little bit of fear there among these men and those trying to bring the king in of that they need to do this in the right way so that they don't lose their own lives as well. But I'd want you to take your Bible and I want you to look at chapter 23, and we're going to pick up here in verse number 9 this morning. And the Bible says in chapter 23, verse 9, "Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God." Real quick, I want to know, I'm not going to stay there very long, but realize real quick here in this situation where the spears, bucklers, and shields were at. They were in the house of God. And brethren, I'll preach it till the day I die if God keeps me preaching it. Listen, you've got to be in church. You've got to be in the house of God because that's where you're going to find the spears, bucklers, and the armor you need to go on out there and take on this world. Not only take on this world, but to take on the Athaliahs in your life. To take on the Athaliah in your life, that one thing in your life that's just, you've just been having a lot of trouble just trying to get rid of that thing. And it just consistently plagues you. And the Bible says here in verse number 10, "And he set all the people," notice that, A-double-L, "all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, 'God save the king.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I ask for your wisdom and guidance now. Lord, lead us in all wisdom, truth, and knowledge, dear God, contained in your word. Help us to walk in the light of it and help us to glean everything we possibly can in this moment, dear God, that you'd have for us, Lord, out of your word. So Lord, help us to learn, dear God, and not just learn, but help us to apply. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to say this morning is, are you a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you this morning if you're a believer. I'm asking you this morning if you're a believer, are you a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says here in verse 10, "And he said, all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand." God requires for all believers to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Are you a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're a soldier, are you armed up and ready to go to battle? Are you armed up and are you ready to go to battle? Are you standing fast for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, is there a spiritual athaliah in your life that needs to be removed and put to death? I'll say that again. Is there a spiritual athaliah in your life that you need to rise up and put out and put to death and get victory over it this morning? Take your Bible, look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 2:1. A spiritual athaliah. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Look what Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore," he says to Timothy, "thou therefore endure" what? "Hardness." That word hardness means hardship, severe labor, trials, or suffering. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He's telling his son here, he says, "Son, Timothy," he says, "listen, son," he says, "you're going to have to fight some battles, and you're going to have to encourage yourself. You're going to have to be strong in the grace that is found in only Christ Jesus. And if you don't strengthen yourself in Christ Jesus, you're not going to be strong enough for when the hardness comes. You're going to cave into it, and you're going to give way to that hardness because you're not doing what you need to be doing as a soldier." Now, brethren, a lot of you men in this room, you've been in the military before. And for the most part, most governments just don't take, like Russia's doing right now, from what I've seen, taking guys off the street, handing them a gun, and saying, "Hey, we're going out there to fight." That's not a very good way to get an army together. You get guys, you put them through boot camp, you put them through specialty training, and then you get them prepared before they even go out there to battle. Now, it was said in a few moments ago in that room in there, brethren, I'm telling you this right now as a preacher, and more things that are coming across my path, I don't think you understand. I despise what's going on in social media right now. I think it's a trap. I think it's a trap. Too many people know too many things about too many people. I despise it because of the ruination it's bringing to Christians. If I could spit right now, I'd spit. The marriages that have been broken up from this nonsense, the cheating, the adultery, the backbiting, the strife, the envy, the malice, I'm tired of it. Brethren, what did people do 60 years ago? It'd be a lot harder to rat out somebody because you didn't have a phone in your hand. And you have to call them up on the telephone, or you'd have to see them in person. Brethren, I believe today we're getting too much knowledge that God never intended for us to get. And it's destroying people, and it's putting out a wrong testimony to this world. And I despise it. I despise it, what it's doing. What it is doing. Well, preacher, it's got some good. I can keep in contact with people. How about you write them a letter? And let them write a letter back. Brethren, it's causing problems, and to me, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Brethren, it's an athaliah. It's a high place. People today, especially the younger generation, and how many kids are going out there and they're putting a gun to their head because somebody unfollowed them? And they're taking their life because they can't handle it. Brethren, Corrie Ten Boom's father was a wise man, and I hope I get this story correct. He was a very wise old man. If you don't know who Corrie Ten Boom is, her father helped, and she did along with her sister, helped hide Jews during the Holocaust. And one time, Corrie ten Boom, when she was younger, she asked her father a question that just it wasn't right for her to know the answer to it yet. She just wasn't old enough to be able to receive that information and handle that information. And she asked her dad, she said, "Daddy, why can't you tell me right now? I got this question. Why can't you answer this right now?" And she said, he said, "Because you're not ready to handle it." He said, "Listen," he said, "you see that, he said, "see my suitcase there? Pick it up and start carrying it for me." She said, "Daddy," she went over there, she's like, "Daddy, I can't pick your suitcase up and carry it for you." She says, that, he says, "That's right, because you can't handle that information either, that information either. You can't pick it up and carry it and take care of it like you need to. It's too heavy." And you know what's going on in a generation today? We got little 4, 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds that only like 20-year-olds should know the information to after they're married. And we got 5 and 6-year-olds that know everything about everything and they're only 5 or 6. Mm-mm. And it's destroying them because they weren't made to handle that information yet. Too much information, too much knowledge, and it's bringing ruination. And I think the devil knows exactly what he's doing. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. You got a generation today that's got all the knowledge in the world and they can't stand up to nothing. Yet they got all the knowledge in the world. I think it's an Athaliah, my friends. I think it's an Athaliah. Take your Bible, and I'll tell you why I think it's an Athaliah, because we're going to look at some things here this morning. Look back over at 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Look at verse 12 now. So everybody's got their weapon in their hand. They're getting ready to try to take out Athaliah. And the king says, or the Bible says here in 2 Chronicles 23, verse number 12. We're going to read verses 12 through verse 15 now. And look what the Bible says. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, "Have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword, for the priest said, slay her not in the house of the Lord." I guess you're going to unfollow her real quick. Just a little reference back over to social media. You're going to unfollow her real quick because she's going down and I ain't going down with her. They stop following her. You better not follow her, because you're following her, she's going to bring death to you. And look here, brethren, if any of you are on social media and you're following people that aren't right to follow, it's going to bring death to you. And you're accountable for it. Bible says in verse 15, so they laid hands on her. And she was come to the entering of the house or horse gate by the king's house. They slew her there. Look, the Bible don't play. Look, brethren, listen here this morning. My wife and I were talking about this week. God don't play games. I think somehow we forget, like when we get into the New Testament, we think that God's just changed and he's now Santa Claus sitting in a rocking chair up there in heaven with a long white beard and just laughs at sin and iniquity and wickedness. And it'll be all right because I sent Jesus to die for him and it's all good now. No, God don't play games. And God definitely doesn't play games with sin. Look, when you got Samuel that will take Agag and hack him in pieces, and that was a prophet, God doesn't play with sin. And I'm not saying we're not to do that today. We're in the church age, and the church is not, it's not its job to go out there and bring judgment upon sin. But I'm just saying in the Old Testament, God did not play or mess around with sin. And he didn't let his people mess around with sin. Can you imagine being Samuel? Think about it for a moment. This is a man of God. This is a prophet of God. And God says, I want you to take that man out. Or let's put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites that Moses led, and the Lord used Moses to lead out of Egypt. And at one point in their journeys, they went to destroy somebody, but they brought the women and the children back, and God said, why didn't you take them out too? That's a horrible God. No, it's a God that hates sin. And we as believers need to hate sin, like God hates sin and not look at it as it's just a mistake or overlook what God doesn't want us to overlook. Look what happens. They put her to death. You see, brethren, we're going to look at a few things right here this morning. Once you begin to do right, once you begin to do right and you're striving to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, expect there to be resistance and a revolt, a treason at your actions. Look, I'm telling you this morning, if all of a sudden you say, you know what, I'm going to try to get my Bible, I'm going to start trying to come to church, I'm going to start trying to pray, I'm going to start trying to do the three things that I know I can do, and I'm going to try to go forward with God and be a witness for him and be a good soldier, look out, because here comes the fight. The enemy doesn't care if you're just sitting off to the side because he's already got you where he wants you. The enemy is going to come after those who are trying to engage the enemy. And he's going to try to take you out. He's going to try to get you to quit. And he's going to try to get you to put down your armor and just go off the battlefield. And all of a sudden, when you try to start doing right, all of a sudden you're going to hear treason, treason. Because the enemy does not want you going forward in the battles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at Jude chapter number 1. Verses 3 and 4. Now, there's only one chapter in Jude, but look at Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Look what the Bible says here. Look what he tells the brethren. Jude 3 and 4. And we're going to get into some things here this morning that I hope will be a help as you try to take on the enemy. Look here, Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude's telling the brethren, listen, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to exhort you that you would earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know what that word lasciviousness is? It means a looseness, an imbalance, or irregular indulgence or animal desire. A looseness containing the things and the grace of God, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude tells the brethren, listen, I want you to contend for the faith. Why? Because there are going to be people that are going to try to creep into your life and lead you away from the gospel that you received when I gave it to you about Jesus Christ. There'll be men that will turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, to fight the good fight, as Paul told Timothy, and as Jude says here, to contend for the faith, to fight the good fight, number one, must recognize the enemy. If you're going to fight this good fight of faith, if you're going to attempt to put out the Athalias that might be in your life, first you have to recognize the enemy. And there's three particular enemies that you're going to have to deal with in your Christian walk. Number one is the flesh, your own self. And that, for the most part, is going to be your biggest enemy. I'm going to say this about the devil. The devil or Satan is not God. Therefore, he cannot be everywhere at the same time. A lot of people blame, well, the devil, no, probably not. You're probably not strong enough in the faith for the devil to mess with you. Actually, I think the devil right now is up there accusing the brethren there before God's throne. Satan is not God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one point. He can only be in one place at one time in his universe. Okay? So your flesh is probably going to be your biggest fight. And for most people, that's the enemy says, listen, I ain't going to mess with them. Their flesh is going to give them enough trouble in themselves. Because most Christians don't ever get victory over their flesh. You know why? You know one reason or one way you know you start getting victory over the flesh? You can control this thing right here. If you can't bridle your tongue, don't worry about the world or the devil messing with you. Your flesh has already got you. That's James. Because the Bible says if you can control that thing right there, you can control the rest of your flesh. So somebody that continually talks or thinks highly of themselves or magnifies themselves, okay, you know, you're already caught. So your flesh will be your number one enemy. Number two, the world. And number three, the devil. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do those things ye would." The world, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, I'm not going to read it. And then the devil in John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, if the devil can't mess with you, I do believe that unclean spirits can mess with you. Okay? So I don't think Satan particularly is going to mess with any of us, but I do believe that there are unclean spirits and devils that can mess with you. You got to recognize the enemy. So number one, if you're going to fight this good fight and get Athaliah out, you got to recognize the enemy. Number two, you got to resist the attack. Take your Bible, look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, you got to resist. James chapter 4. And look at verse number 7. You got to recognize the enemy. You got to resist the attacks because they will come. Look at James chapter 4. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." Here's that word again that we saw in Sunday school. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." You want strength? Recognize the enemy. Resist the attack. Resist means to literally stand against. Stand against. Now look, brethren, I'll tell you another reason why I despise social media. Because it puts too many new believers in positions they're never meant to handle. Too much information coming at them, too many questions coming at them, they don't know how to handle it, and they lose it. Because they were never meant to be put in that position in the first place. You don't take a lamb and drop him into the lion's den and expect it to live. Brother, I'm telling you, if I could take my phone and cast it in the Lehigh River, I'd do it. I'd do it. But there's some things you just got to have. Brethren, I think this stuff going on the internet, on the television, on radio, in books, on our phones, it's given us too much and too many people can't handle it and it's destroying them. And they're getting caught up with false doctrines, with heretics, because they were never meant to be put in that place in the first place. You know what God established? God established pastors and a local church.
Yes, sir.
And look here, I'm going to tell you something. And I had discussions with somebody else here in this church about a year ago about this. Concerning the previous pastor. Pastor Gary. And he used to say, listen, don't be asking for a Bible study if you don't come to all the church services.
Well,
if you're not going to come to all the church services and you want something extra, no. First, it starts to come in all the church services.
Amen.
Because if you're not going to show the initiative to come to all the church services, why? And I'm not saying this arrogantly, because I will do it for you. And I think those of you who know me know I would do it for you. But why should I go out of my way when I'm already trying to prepare four messages that I think God wants for us here?
Amen.
You know another danger of all that's on the internet? It's like going to the Golden Corral or the smorgasbord down there at Shady Maples where you can pick anything you want to eat. And I guarantee you, if any of you have ever been to one of these buffets before, I would have to bet you usually get what you like to eat. I guarantee if you see something there you don't like, you're probably not going to pick it up and eat it. Unless somebody that loves you knows that you're on a diet and you need to eat it. But you're going to pick what you want. And this is the danger it causes for a local church and its pastor. Is because I can't measure up to everything you're getting. I can't be that smorgasbord to give you what you like to eat. maybe I'm trying to give you the broccoli and you're wanting a sirloin steak. Or maybe you really don't like peas, like this guy right here. You know, there was somebody at church that gave me a bag of peas from this church one time. Can you believe the audacity? They were just messing with me, and I laughed at it. They came over to the house. I think we were sick one time. They came over to the house and brought us a meal, and they said, oh, here's a bag of peas for Pastor. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. But my wife has brought me around a little bit to eat peas, so yes, I try. If you serve them to me, if I come to your house, I'm going to try to eat them for you because I don't want to make you feel bad. But when I was a kid, I used to hide them, brethren. I'm serious. I'd put them in my mouth because my mom and dad wouldn't let me get up off the table till all my plate was clean. I'd put them in my mouth, and then when they weren't looking, I'd take a bunch of napkins, put it in my pocket. I wouldn't eat it. And then my mom, I think, started catching on to it and started watching me. So then I would eat like four at a time, and I'd swallow them like they were pills. I could not eat peas. I would sit there for hours like, I'll just have to suffer, but I ain't putting those things in my mouth. I don't know what it was with peas. I love all kinds of other vegetables, but peas, I don't even know the route I went on to. Talking about, oh, here we go. You know, the dangers of the internet and even tapes and CDs. It started with them. And I don't got nothing wrong with listening to other preachers or pastors, but you got to be careful that you don't get spoiled on them and then you come to church and you despise what's given here. The Bible, and I can't remember the proverb now, off the top of my head. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And if you come to church full because you've been eating up everything out there, and then you come here and you're going to be like, oh, this guy ain't like my favorite preacher. But God didn't set up your favorite preacher. He set up the local church and a pastor. So please be careful with those things. Be careful. Be very careful. Again, I'm not saying you can't listen to stuff. I'm saying be careful. Be careful that you don't despise maybe what you think is light bread here. Because it might just be the bread you need to eat. And you're full, so you push it off to the side and you don't take heed to it. Recognize the enemy, resist the attack. Brethren, take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. God expects us to resist. We're not Calvinists this morning. You have a free will. And God expects you to use your free will. You have to learn to resist. You have to learn to fight in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Paul tells as he's closing out this letter to this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Look what he tells them. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Look, we're raising a generation today that can't resist. They don't got no backbone. Everything has been effeminized. That's even a word. I just made it up. We'll put it in the dictionary. And I'm not going to go there, but I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah. It talks about how, no, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23 or 32. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord tells the children of Israel, listen, if you don't do what I tell you to do, it's going to get so bad if you reject me and follow these false nations that someday you will eat your children. And guess who he said, if you read right after he makes that, in that verse, the next verse he talks about the tender and delicate men and how they'll eat their own children. And we got that today. We got tender and we got delicate men. And guess what? They'll be the first ones, as the Word of God says, to do things you think they would never do, and then the woman will follow right after. God expects men to men to be men, and God expects women to be women. Brethren, we don't mess around with God. Brethren, who thought we'd get to the point with things we're doing in our country today? All right, so quit you like men. You know what that word quit you like men means there? It means, somebody might say, well, preacher, it means act, play the part. Quit you like men. Play the part. Because once you start playing the part, before you realize it, you'll be the part. Quit you like men. Be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Watch ye. because God expects us to do our part. So you recognize the enemy, you resist the attack, and then you refocus on the Lord. Take your Bible, look over Hebrews chapter 12. Recognized, resist, refocus. Once you started resisting, start refocusing. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse number 1. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Refocus. Put things in perspective. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know how all these things work, but I believe what the Bible says. And if the Bible's saying that we are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what God requires of you? He wants you to run. Spiritually, He wants you running. He wants you running your race. But guess why a lot of Christians can't run their race? They're easily beset by sin, and it weighs them down, and they're not running, and I'm afraid some aren't even walking, and I'm afraid some aren't even standing still. I'm afraid some are just sitting down because of what's weighing them down. Brethren, if you're weighed down, you can't run, or you can't run very well. Brethren, those of you who've been soldiers, man, you throw that ruck pack on there, that 50-pound, 60-pound rucksack, and they say start running, that's a rough run. But if you can drop that pack and just have your weapon in your hand, you're running a lot quicker. And so the Lord says here, the Lord gives us a picture here, and the Lord's saying, listen, Christians, He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run a race. Why? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Refocus, recognize, resist, refocus. Refocus on who? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look what it says next now in the refocus. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and wet faint in your minds. Consider Jesus. Well, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the battles I'm facing. It's just weighing me down. Consider Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look for what Jesus has done and what He can do for you, because He knows what you're going through, and He is the only one that can give you the strength to go through it. He's made strong in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Are you considering Jesus, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds? You see, brethren, I'm telling you this morning, if you recognize the enemy and you're resisting and you're refocusing, the enemy's going to try to get you into your mind and get your focus and your eyes off of Jesus and your eyes on you. And when your eyes go off of Jesus and your eyes go on you, you're going to start spiraling out of control. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you have the right focus. And you'll be able to keep things in perspective. And you'll be able to go on in His grace. So recognize, resist, refocus. Once you refocus and you resist and you recognize, now it's time to try to recover. Recover what might have been left behind or lost. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. Revelation 2. Verse number 1, recover what has been left lost or what has been lost or left behind. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. Revelation 2 verse 1. Look what the Bible says here. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It's kind of interesting when reading that there when we were talking about in Sunday School Hour how God, or in Corinthians where it talks about we're the temple of God and God walks in the midst of us. Well, here we see the Savior and these angels, they walk in the midst of the seven churches. And the Bible says in verse number 2, look what the Lord says. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Those are some very, very good things that this church is doing. It's a good church. Look what he says. They're working for the Lord. They're laboring for the Lord. They got patience and they can't bear that which is evil. They got some convictions. They're trying to do right. Look what the Bible says next. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They even have the diligence and the knowledge to pick out heretics, call them out, and get rid of them. They can spot a false doctrine from 1,000 miles away and get it taken care of. But look what the Bible says next. Verse 3. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. But look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Brethren, have you left your first love this morning? I don't care about the knowledge you got. I don't care how many doctrines you know. I don't care if you can rightly, and brethren, there's a time and place for all of it, so please understand what I'm saying. I'm afraid a lot of people today are missing their first love. They got the doctrines right. They got the dispensations right. They got scriptures memorized. They're laboring for the Lord. They're working for the Lord. They show patience. They're not fainting. Yet Jesus says, nevertheless, I got something against you. You're doing all this without loving me or forgetting to love me. Brethren, Charles Spurgeon said this. Charles Spurgeon made this quote. He said, an hour in a closet is better than 100 sermons. Something along those lines. Brethren, how much time do we spend in the prayer closet? Loving on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ loving on us. I'm being serious on that. Well, preacher, I'm doing this and I'm working here and I'm doing this and I'm laboring here and I'm going here and I'm doing this. You're a Martha. And you're cumbered about much serving. But Mary got that which was needful because she's sitting at Jesus' feet. You can have a lot of action and a lot of labor and hating that which is evil, calling out false doctrines, false apostles, got all your ducks in a row when it comes to doctrine and everything else, and not love Jesus. And Jesus says, I got this against you. Look what he says in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. That means get this thing right. And do what? Look, repent. It's not a mind thing, brethren. It's a heart thing that desires action. A lot of people have put this false thing with repentance out there that, well, you're making repentance a work. Yes, sometimes repentance is a work. You say you're sorry and then you do something about it. And right here's a perfect example, brethren. It says repent, and then what does he say to do? And do the first, what? Works. You say you're sorry, then back it up with some action. A lot of people will give you the words all day long. Well, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry, preacher. I don't care about your words. Give me the action. Give me the action. Prove it. Show it. And Jesus says, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. Or look what he says, or else, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Brethren, you look up the word repentance in an 1828 dictionary, it talks about contrition. It talks about compunction, which means a sorrow for sin. You know what we're missing today? Ain't nobody getting sorry over their sin towards the Holy God. They think he's again Santa Claus up there and they'll just overlook it. Brethren, we need to be sorry towards a holy God for not loving him like we ought to love him. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? Or are you just going through the motions because it's just what you're supposed to do? My wife doesn't want me just going through the motions as a husband. She wants me to love her. And a lot of homes are missing that today, and a lot of marriages. They give the wife everything the wife wants. She wants this, they give it to her, and they think it's love. But love, true love, is a relationship between one another. And a lot of people try to buy it off. You know, a lot of people try to do it with their kids as well. They don't spend time with their kids. They're not around their kids. But when they come home, they try to buy them and do everything for them. Give them all the candy. Take them to the amusement parks. When a kid in reality just wants your love. And some kids start seeing through it. And you know what Jesus Christ wants from us tonight, brethren, or this morning? He wants our love. He doesn't care what we can do. He wants us to love him first. Because if we love him first, then we'll do those things that are pleasing to him. But he wants the love first. The Lord says, "Hear, O Israel, our Lord, our God is one Lord." And then he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That's the first commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. Love God. Love God. So you recognize the enemy, you resist the attacks, you refocus on the Lord, you recover that love that you might have lost, and then you start to reconstruct and rebuild what has been recovered. Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. Recognize, resist, refocus, recover, and then start to reconstruct. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. Ecclesiastes 10, 18. Look what the Bible says here. Ecclesiastes 10, 18. Look what the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ said. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says here in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." Well, who's the building and the house of the Lord today? It's us. And through slothfulness and idleness, that building is going to fall apart. God expects us to do our part to reconstruct and rebuild what has been recovered, to keep the house in order that it's pleasing to our God and that he can walk through the midst of it. The last verses I want to close with this morning, take your Bible, look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Reconstruct and rebuild what is recovered. And here in Nehemiah chapter 2, they're recovering Jerusalem. And they're coming back to rebuild the temple and the wall. And look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 18. Brethren, if you start going down this path, like I said earlier, if you recognize the enemy, you begin to resist the attacks, you start to refocus and recover. When you start to reconstruct, the enemy's coming in full force. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and look at verse number 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, who is this thing, or what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to go into it all this morning here, but they got to resist the enemy coming in and starting to question what God's wanting them to do. When you begin to reconstruct and you begin to try to strive, I'm telling you, the battles are coming in your mind. And it might even come from the outside as well, but a lot of the battle is going to be in your mind. You can never, look, I'm telling you, the devil's going to come in and whisper in your mind. If you're trying to recover something that you lost, if you're trying to get back a conviction you used to have, if you're trying to get back to prayer time and reading your Bible like you used to, the devil's going to whisper in your ear as you're striving, you're getting nowhere with God. He doesn't hear you. You're wasting your time trying to pray. Just go back and do that. This ain't worth it. You can't do it. You've gone too far from God. You've fallen too far away. You can't get up. You can't do it. Don't listen to the voices. Don't listen to the voices. Nehemiah had to deal with the voices. Read Nehemiah. He had to deal with the voices. And he said, you know what? We're going to arise and we're going to build. And we're not going to listen to what you're saying. Now look, it takes everybody to help rebuild that wall. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3. But you do have some that don't want to rebuild. And in Nehemiah chapter 3, look at verse 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work for the Lord. But as you read through Nehemiah chapter 8, you find person next to person, next to person, next to person as they rebuild the wall. Look at verse number 8. Next unto him repaired Aziel, the son of Hariah, of the goldsmith. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. You can read through this chapter, person next to person, and doing their little part on their wall to help rebuild it quick. And you know what it's going to take for us as a church and as brethren, and why the local church is so important? Because we should stand arm in arm or right next to each other, and we do our part that God's given us to keep the wall up and the enemy out. But if you're not doing your part, you're causing problems for your brother who's trying to do his part. Because now they got to pick up the slack where you're not picking the slack up. Because look what happens. Take your Bible and look down at verse number 20. Nehemiah 3, verse 20. And after him, Baruch, the son of Zabiah, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the other door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. This man is working hard and fast. Brethren, you get some time this week. Read through all these people and how they're reconstructing and rebuilding what was lost. And they all had their part in it. And brethren, we all have our part in trying to work for the Lord Jesus Christ and to repair the wall and to keep the wall up and to fight the enemy from coming in. I'm not going to go through the last ones I got, but we recognize the enemy, we resist the attacks, we refocus, we recover, we reconstruct, and the last two, you remain faithful and you rest in the Lord. You remain faithful. Once you got it reconstructed, once you recovered what you lost, stay faithful. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Last, rest in the Lord. You know the scriptures there. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 talks about resting in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Get away from the noise and get alone with God. Brethren, I wish we could get timers over our heads. I wish I could get one over my head that shows me all the time that I waste and that I could have been used to be spending time with the Lord. Now, there's things that we got to do. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the times that I can spend with God, yet I choose to do something else. Remain faithful, rest in the Lord. You see, brethren, When Athaliah was put to death, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 23:21 that all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. You want some quietness in your life? It may take getting rid of that Athaliah, that sin that does so easily beset you. May God give you the grace and strength to take care of one if it is there, to where you can get some quietness in your life. Recognize, resist, refocus, recover, reconstruct, remain, and rest in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for this blessed book, dear God. Lord, I thank you so much for my Bible. Lord, I thank you for all that's contained in this book, dear God, and so many things that I just missed, dear Lord, because I'm lazy. Lord, help me, dear God, to spend time with you and this book. Lord, help me to walk in the light of it. And Lord, first and foremost, dear God, help me, Lord, to not be like the church at Ephesus. Lord, help me to God, not get so busy working and I lose my first love. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to always keep that first love there, Lord. And Lord, I pray in my life, dear God, if you see it to start to slip, Lord, please deal with me about it. And Lord, I pray for our church here, dear God. Lord, if there's someone here this morning, Lord, they've left their first love. Lord, they're busy working. They're doing the right things, but they've left their first love. God, I pray you'd help them and rekindle that flame, dear God, and they love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, Lord, help us to take these things in, and Lord, help us to apply them, and Lord, help us to stay faithful. Lord, help us to resist the enemy, and Lord, if we got to take out an Athaliah, Lord, help us to have the courage to do so. And we'll pray these things in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.